Hello, and welcome to yet another episode. I believe this is number 5 of the Digital Hazard Podcast. It's Friday, as always. I wanted to start out this week with my own personal review of the Motorola Droid. No, I did not go out and buy one. No, I do not have a unit shipped to me via special blogging privileges, whatever, I don't know. No, I don't have a friend who went out and got one. The answer, my friends, is I went to a Verizon store and played with one. Lame, yeah, I know, but I'm going to talk about it because I'm going to talk about it. I went and picked it up. It was, like, glued down. Honestly, they don't want anyone stealing it. But I picked it up, I played with it. It was snappy. The fast processor that they advertise really is true. It's really one of the fastest phones I've ever seen. That's even faster. And I'm saying that it's even faster than your small, not smartphone phones, the ones that don't really do a whole lot. Like this is a fast phone. The keys were a little smaller than I thought. The keys were really kind of small squares. And you kind of had to push them with your nails, unless you had small fingers. But the virtual keyboard was really nice and responsive. It was really clean, and it knew where you were going with your typing. And I liked that you could pull up the virtual keyboard both horizontal and vertically. The last thing I want to say about the Motorola Droid is to all those people who are like, oh, well, the iPhone is obviously the greatest phone. It's obviously going to stay the greatest phone because it has such an intuitive interface. And, like, you can just pick it up. You can give it to a computer illiterate person. They'll pick it up and they'll be able to do things with it. It's like, no. And then they bash on Android. Well, I'm saying no. I had never used an Android device. I'd never touched Android. I'd never seen Android before. I picked up that Droid. I knew exactly, it was intuitive. I knew exactly what I was doing. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's my propensity for knowledge of tech subjects and being able to remedy things and pick things apart and understand them. But yeah, I mean, you can't harp on Android for being a user unfriendly interface. Moving on. I have one last droid thing, and then I'll move on. There's a link to the Engadget story in the show notes about the GSM droid. I think it's called the Milestone, and it will be coming out early 2010 in all the GSM countries, so Europe, everywhere in Europe, and Canada. So I'm thinking a road trip up to Canada to buy a phone and unlock it later? No, not probably not, because you'd have to buy it full price, $500-something up in Canada, and yeah. I'm simply talking about this story because I said a couple weeks back that there was going to be a GSM droid, and there is a GSM droid, and really happy. Okay, enough about the droid for all you iPhone wannabe fans. Apple is said to be working on a world mode iPhone, so there will be a GSM version of the iPhone that comes out and puts on Verizon. I might have talked about this last episode that there was going to be a Verizon iPhone. I might not have. I can't quite remember. I mean, I could always go back and look. But yes. And Apple said to be working on a world mode iPhone, so it would be a CDMA iPhone for Verizon, Sprint, those kind of carriers. The jury's still out, whatever expression you want me to use, on whether Verizon is going to be the one that picks up this CDMA iPhone. The The big thing about this, though, is that the World Mode iPhone is reported to have a 2.8-inch screen. So that's down from the 3-inch screen on the GSM iPhone. It's so 20% smaller. And the reason we know this is from the investment research firm OTR Global, which states that sources in the Taiwan handset supply chain, they say that it has the 2.8-inch touchscreen. All right, moving on to, okay, another, we'll finish off our smartphone stuff here. Ars Technica reports that it's smartphones that are beating the recession, not games, as people would have thought. Surprisingly, it's Nokia that is still coming out on top in the smartphone business. I mean, you have Symbian has been the largest smartphone operating system for a long time. I have a Symbian phone, my Nokia N96, which is my Jesus phone, sort of. And they say that Nokia's numbers have been buoyed by the launch of the N97, which was a popular phone. And it's a little side note here, a personal experience, sadness, annoyance, whatever you want to call it. It was the summer when I bought my Nokia N96. And at that time, the N97 had come out, and it was reviewed. And from the reviews, they were saying that it's a powerful phone, yes, but the Symbian operating system is too old, and it cripples the thing. And at that point, I was just like, oh, well, I don't want a device that's horribly crippled. And then I took a step down, and I bought the N96. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a great phone, I like it, but I have some grievances. Like, I detailed this, like, the second episode, maybe, way back when. It doesn't do the right things for me. And I realize now that I should have bought the N97, and, I mean, like, N96, N97, it's the same Symbian operating system. Like, it's not going to change which phone it's on. It's going to be a quote-unquote crippling operating system wherever you're going. I can see why they would say the N97 is not going to, like, kill the iPhone. And, I don't know, just, I realize now, I wish I had known to just go ahead and buy the Nokia N97. At the time, I wouldn't be in this position where I'm droid crazy now if I had went and bought an N97 then. That's my expression on the N97. Yeah. But the story here is that smartphones are the device that has withstood the test that is the recession, and Nokia is still on top. Like, obviously, I guess. All right, next story. We have from the Google Press Center. They say that Google will offer free Wi-Fi in a bunch of airports this holiday season. I think that's kind of cool. Like, hey, I get free, like you go to an airport, and some of them, like, claim to have free wireless, but they don't really. Like, it's that, like, pay $24 for 24 hours because we know you're not going to be in an airport for 24 hours, or, like, pay a bazillion dollars for, like, a week and a half. It's stupid. But Google is saying that they will offer free Wi-Fi in a bunch of, in 47 airports that handle over 50 million passengers a year, or about 35% of the total number of annual passengers in the U.S. in October. Google and Virgin America also announced that all passengers on Virgin America Airlines will have free in-flight Wi-Fi. So five of the airports participating in the program are Boston, Seattle, Vegas, San Diego, and Fort Lauderdale. Why not, like, New York? I don't know. If you want more information about this, go to freeholidaywifi.com. The other thing is that I need to put it in the show notes. But apparently, Microsoft is offering free wireless in some airports as well, simply for doing a Bing search, I believe. Let me quickly pull this up. Microsoft just says that they're going to offer free Wi-Fi, and they haven't said yet where, during the holiday season, for basically the same run that Google is offering their free Wi-Fi. I'll paste that link in the show notes. Remind me. Another Google story here is that Google hopes to remake programming with a language called Go. And from what I understand, Go is just sort of... Google's Go project consists of the programming language so far, and it's most similar to C and C++, but Pike, who's... Rob Pike, who's the principal software engineer working on Go, says that it employs modern features and has enough versatility that could be used within web browsers. I believe I remember reading as well that Go is a language that supports 64-bit multi-core just code base, where C++ and C and Java, it's harder to integrate multi-core processes with a C or Java program. And here's switching off of Google back to Microsoft, as we seem to have a bunch of different Microsoft Google things. I have a story that says Microsoft patents sudo's behavior. Now, if you don't know what sudo is the Unix command that allows a non-root user, a non-administrator user, to run commands with elevated privileges. But sudo allows it for just one command at a time. And Microsoft has come up with a patent that essentially duplicates the functionality of sudo. I'm looking at the patent right now. And the abstract quite literally says, systems and or methods are described that enable a user to elevate his or her rights. In one embodiment, these systems and or methods present a user interface identifying an account having a right to permit a task in response to the task being prohibited based on user's current account not having that right. Sounds a lot like sudo. And this patent was filed in 2005, but still... It's like you're trying to patent a elevation of privileges that has been around since the 70s, right? That's when Unix first came out. Microsoft, what are you thinking? It's silly. I don't know. Microsoft, more Microsoft news. We're going to finish with some Microsoft news. And it's Windows 7 news. Came out October the 22nd, and I'll have to say that this story was submitted by a listener. So all you listeners out there, submit stories when you feel like it, because you'll have them read. I'm not going to say this listener's name, protect the innocent, all that other good stuff, but this listener knows who he is. All right. One of the Microsoft Partner Group managers, I think his name is Simon Aldiss, he's quoted as saying, "One of the things that people say an awful lot about the Apple Mac is that the OS is fantastic and it's graphical and easy to use." And he continues, "What we've tried to do with Windows 7, whether it's traditional format or in touch format, is to create a Mac look and feel in terms of graphics." Yes, what I just read to you is Microsoft saying, "We took Windows 7 and we reproduced functionality in Mac OS X. And you can get all in a buzz here, like, Mac OS fans are going to say, oh, see, like, Windows steals from Mac, and Mac is the only one that innovates. And you know what? Yeah, sure, you can say that. But this has been going on forever, in that as soon Windows and Mac OS went to fight way early, like 3.1, I think, when they first came out with the GUI, the graphical user interface, and they had a big long fight that Apple was displaying content in a window, and Windows was displaying content in a window. And thankfully then, the judge rules against Apple and says, well, there's no other way to display content in a graphical interface other than in a window. So, I don't know. I don't think that Simon Aldous will be on the Microsoft payroll much longer. But yeah, okay, fine. Doesn't everybody take the good out of some and put it in theirs? But for those of you who are going to be like, oh no, all Windows does is steal from OS X, well, I'm going to tell you no. Because there's been Compiz and Beryl, which have merged to Compiz Fusion, and these were open source projects that give awesome results, that let you do awesome things with graphics, minimizing desktop management, things like that. And, oh, guess what OS X prides itself on? The Genie effect. When Leopard came out, we were all amazingly surprised with Spaces. Let me tell you something. It was like a year before Leopard even came out, like before Leopard was released as betas and things, that I had a Linux box up and running with a desktop manager. It was called the GNOME Desktop Manager. And then all Apple can do is come up with Spaces. So yeah, maybe Windows copies off of Apple, but I can tell you Apple steals a whole lot from other people. You know, OS X is based on Unix. Guess what? Unix is not Apple's. Maybe if you want to make the argument, oh, well, Apple was helpful when they started all the Unix support and the Unix integration that is what Apple does. But, I mean, you're taking BSD from free and open source software. That's the stories I have for today. I don't have any emails. I do have the story recommended by a listener, which we just talked about. I want to announce a few things. I want to call for co-hosts. If anyone wants to share their blather, and hopefully we can get a nice dialogue going, as opposed to me just ranting and rambling and things like that. I'm saying that you must have Skype so that we can interact, or if you want to somehow get together and we'll record this on a laptop with two mics so we can see each other and hear each other, we can do that. But I imagine you want to sit in front of your computer and do all the nice stuff yourself. So I'm saying if you must have Skype so that we can record the conversation and then I can put it into the podcast and so that we can hear each other and not try to juggle a phone or something back and forth. If you're interested, shoot me an email. Glad to talk about it. I'd be glad to have a co-host on here and get some interesting things. I mean, this is already episode 5. I'd like to expand my horizons. And the other thing I want to plug real quick is if you're listening to this and you have a friend who would be interested, or you think someone, you know someone who would be interested, please tell them to come and listen and download, because I'm begging you for listeners right now. I ran some stats off of my audio host, and I got 13 max listeners on my second episode. Third episode was nowhere near as good. It was like 2. And episode 4 was like 3. So if you know someone who'd be interested, please send them a link, share it. That'd be awesome. I mean, just I'm just hoping that I get out to greater people. Like I said a while ago, I just hope that by the 100th episode, I have 100 people who have listened to it, or 100 different people who listen to it. You know, that's all I have to say. Stay fresh. A lot of good stuff. Goodbye.